and I've enjoyed all the singing today, the specials, the congregationals. The Sunday school hour was a tremendous blessing. It's a shame that we have to be reminded of such an awesome event, but we do. We do. We have to be reminded of the goodness of God, and we have to be reminded of the price that Jesus paid for the penalty of our sin, and we just have to be reminded. We're forgetful people, aren't we? We are. That's why we have this table down here, the communion table. This do in remembrance of me, because God knows we're forgetful people. It's just part of the curse. But I'm glad that God has ways of reminding us, aren't you? I'm thankful for that. Well, before we get into Nehemiah 8, I'm going to ask you to turn to a few passages of Scripture that will help you to understand a little bit about why I'm preaching the message I'm preaching this morning. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy. Would you turn there? 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. There's many reasons for preaching. The Bible gives these reasons, the results, the byproduct of preaching. One of the things that the Bible mentions is that we could be reproved, that we could be corrected, that we could be rebuked, that we could be instructed. Just a lot of things that preaching does. I'm glad for the miracle of preaching. I'm glad that God chose preaching, aren't you? Preaching is just something that God has given us. It helps us in our spiritual experience. Now, Paul used this word that I want to share with you when he was writing unto Timothy. He said, Timothy, I want to stir you up. And so there's three times. There's once in Timothy, we'll look at it here. Then there's twice over in the book of 2 Peter. Well, I think one of them's, 2 Peter. And he said, I want to stir you up. Now, the reason for stirring up is because people just kind of fall back a little bit. And we just kind of get, maybe we just get a little, I don't know, casual maybe, or a little cooled off, lukewarm. We have to be careful. And so Paul said, the way that you stir, and Peter said, the way you stir people up is you put them in remembrance. And I thought about that as they were singing. We just have to be reminded of things, and it kind of stirs us up. And we just kind of forget. We've got so much going on in our lives, and there's so much going on around us, and there's so much just happening. And if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of priority. And we'll lose sight of what really matters. And this is how we get in the condition that God doesn't want us to be in. And so in 2 Timothy, if you're there, look if you would in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and we'll read verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said this, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Now, why are you going to do that? He said that thou stir up the gift of God. He said, I want to remind you. God called you. I want to remind you what God's done in your life. And he said, this ought to stir you up, Timothy. You can't just get lax and you can't just get comfortable in this thing called the Christian life. And so he said, I want to stir you up. Then turn over, if you would, in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Turn there, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 1. And then we'll look at one more in chapter 3. So we're going to go to 2 Peter. And Peter did the same thing. He said, I want to just stir you up. Now, how are you going to do that? He said, because I want to put you in remembrance. I want you to remember some stuff. I want you not to forget. And it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget, especially in the realm of the spiritual. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 13. Peter said, yea, I think it meet. And that word just means right or appropriate. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm in this earthly body, to stir you up. How are you going to do that? By putting you in remembrance. Amen. I want you to remember some things. I want you to go back. I want you to remember. I want you to remember what God's done for you. I want you to remember a time in your life when you were on fire for God, when spiritual things were a priority in your life. So I want to put you in remembrance to stir you up, he said. Now go over, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 3. He did it again. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds." How are you going to do that? By way of remembrance. And so occasionally, the preacher just needs to stir some things up. You know, we get correction, we get reproof, we get exhortation, we get instruction, and certainly that is what God's Word does. But occasionally, we just need to be reminded of some things, and this ought to stir us up. Now, with that in mind, I ask you to return to Nehemiah chapter number 8. Nehemiah chapter number 8. Occasionally, I am confronted, and perhaps you are too, I'm confronted by people that say, "Well, you know, that traditional church way of doing things, you know, I just don't understand why." Well, I hope this will answer your question today. Why do we do what we do? Why, as we're here today, why is there a pulpit here? What's the significance of this? Where did this come from? Why is it where it's at? Why am I up here? Why are you here? Why do we do what we do? Well, I think we can find some answers right here in Nehemiah 8. I just do. But I think the most important thing is, as we meet here, why is everyone holding a Bible? Why did you bring your Bible to church? And I sure hope that you did. What's the purpose? What's the importance? What's the significance? What are we to gain from today? Well, certainly all that is done here should lead us to worship. It should lead us to worship. If we leave here today and we haven't worshiped, then God hasn't been honored. In our lives, we're just apt to leave here the same way we came. But if we worship God, so as we turn, and I'm going to find my place back in Nehemiah chapter number 8. Look, if you would, and I'm going to just give you about three things here in Nehemiah chapter number 8. The first thing that I want you to notice is I want you to notice the people of the book. Now, the key to this chapter is in verse number 1, when it says, "All the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate." Now, there's so much in this chapter. I'm just going to have to highlight some things that I think would be of a help to you. And he said, as they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, they said this, "Bring the book." Right? We appreciate the preacher, but it's not about the preacher. Bring the Bible. Amen. Bring the book. We appreciate the singing, but it's not about the singing. Bring the book. Right? See, that's the thing. Bring the book. We could meet here and we could have instrumentalists, we could have vocalists, we could have singing. And I love singing. I thank God for singing. We could have fellowship. We're as saved people, we could have fellowship one with another. And I love good fellowship. I love it. But listen, brethren, if you don't bring the book, if the book's not broke open, if the Bible's not preached, there's going to be very little for the kingdom of God accomplished because of that. And so he said, "I want you to understand the importance, the place of priority in the book. It's about the book. Bring the book. Ezra, the man of God, we want you to come. But now, when you come, don't forget the book." Amen. The Bible. You have your Bible with you today? Hold it up. Amen. See, this right here is what's going to change your life. If you're saved, you're saved because of this book right here. Amen. That's the only way you can get saved. By the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It's the only way, brethren. It's the only way. The Word of God is what changes lives. The Word of God is what saves souls. The Word of God is what will make a difference in your life, in your home, in the church. Can I tell you that our homes have set aside the Bible? Our nation has set aside the Bible. And listen, I'm appalled that I would stand before you and say that our churches are even setting aside the Bible. But yet it's so. Amen. And so he said, now, we want the man of God to come. But you can't be much of a man of God if you don't have the Word of God. Amen. Bring the book. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to notice some things here about the people. This is the way it used to be. And it's the way it ought to be. It's the way God ordained it to be. And I'm thankful for most that are here, it's still the way it is. But sometimes we just need to be stirred up. And we have to be reminded of what God expects of us when we congregate and when we assemble ourselves together. I want you to notice the words that the Nehemiah, the author of this book, mentioned in verse number 1. And all the people, look at that next word, gathered. Gathered. What a word. We are a people that gather. Listen, we're not looking for couch church. We gather. We assemble. Now, if you're watching by live stream and you're sick and you can't get out, I'm glad we can bring this to you. But we're not looking to build couch church. We're looking to gather. We're looking to assemble. We are people that assemble. We are people that gather. God has placed an emphasis on gathering. As a matter of fact, you'll find this same word in 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2 that says when Jesus comes, he's going to gather us together unto him. That is an important word. The assembly of the believer is so important, brethren. It is so important. There's just many, many, many positive things that happen when we come together in the house of God, in the name of God, and we look into the Word of God as the people of God. Amen. And so he said in verse number 1, and all the people. As a matter of fact, I went through and I counted, and I think it's 11 times you'll find that phrase in this chapter. All the people in verse number 1. You see it there? Look, if you would, over in verse number 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. Who was above all the people? Ezra, there's a platform. He was above them. Say, why do you got a platform? Well, I think we're being biblical. Hey, you got a pulpit up there. We'll look back in verse number 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, not plexiglass. So, well, they didn't have plexiglass back then. Well, he'd have probably broke it. You're going to do any preaching, you don't need plexiglass. And you don't need a stool. Amen. You need a platform and you need a pulpit. Why? Preach the word, amen. Preach the word. That's right. Do a little of this right here. You say, what's that mean, preacher? It means wake up. Amen. For some, for others, it means it means punch the person beside you so they'll wake up. A little passion. That's right, a little aggression. So I like that soft preaching. Yeah, there's a lot of folks in our country like it. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Right. Soft people like soft preaching. Right. Give it to me like God said it, amen? And give it to me with some passion. Amen. Some passion. That's right. Yeah. So he said this. He said, all the people gathered, all of them, not some of them, not most of them, all of them gathered. Now notice what they did when they gathered. When they gather, this speaks of their attendance. How many of the people? All of them. They were all there. It's important that you gather. I understand people get sick. I understand what we've just come through. Listen, don't you think that I'm standing here without a knowledge of that. I understand that. But I'm talking about, if at all possible, if you're physically able, you need to make your way down to the house of God when the people of God are meeting. Amen. Amen. Well, I got a family reunion coming up, and it's going to be 11 o'clock next Sunday. You need to be in the house of God. Missions revival. Amen. Well, you know, got some neighbors going to have a yard party. 11:30, 12 o'clock next Sunday. You make your way down the house of God, and you won't be sorry. Don't you forsake the assembling of yourself now. And I believe that there's some believers that have forgotten that Sunday is the Lord's day. Get in the house of God. Get you some spiritual food. Serve, be the spiritual leader of your home. Pull your family together. You should never wake up on Sunday morning and roll over and say, well, honey, what we're going to do today? It's the Lord's day. We're going to the house of God. Amen. 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 All the people gathered themselves together. That's attendance. Now look at the next thing I want you to see. Look if you would. Attention. The Bible says in verse number 3, and he read therein, the book of the law, before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until the midday. Now, I've got to say something about this. This man preached for 6 hours. Now, don't get nervous. But he expounded, and he had others to help as they expounded the Word of God from 6 a.m. to noon. The morning for the Jew, 6 a.m., that's when the day began. Until what? Midday. By the way, they wasn't sitting in comfortable chairs like you. Notice what the Scripture says in verse number 4, right in the middle there. It says they stood. It says that Ezra stood, the preacher standing. Amen. You're not going to see me on a stool in case I'm paralyzed or my legs are something messed up in my legs. I'm not going to be sitting down preaching in case I have a physical problem. And a preacher, I just don't know now. Some of this new stuff's okay. None of it's okay. I'm on this. I just want to go ahead and get this out there. I'm still waiting on the next generation. Folks, listen to me. If you listen to this godless contemporary music, I'm still waiting on some young folks that'll serve God off of that. Produce me one. Bring me one. But I can show you many that are out in the world, out of church, sitting in church, no smile, no joy, no peace. You know why? That stuff's of the world. That's feeding on junk. That's right. Say, well, you need to identify contemporary music. I may do that in tonight's service just to help some out. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at the devil. He has slipped in our churches and sold us a bill of goods, and we got folks walking around, no joy. You know why? They're doing this. Jesus is everything. Hey, listen. There's something wrong with that. If you want to shake, rattle, and roll to God's music, it's not God's music. I'm still waiting on some folks to bring me one of their children and say, here's a Spirit-filled servant of God. We listen to that trash preacher, but we're raising up servants of God. Don't kid yourself, friend. Don't kid yourself. That stuff is wrecking and ruining your home, and you're naive to it, or either you're just something bad wrong somewhere. You need to go through and you need to cleanse that stuff. Amen, preacher. Preach it to us, preacher. I can show you over and over again in this book. See, I know a little bit more about this book than some of you give me credit for. Those are the songs of fools. These folks dress like they're going to some nightclub up there gyrating and jiggling around, playing the tune of the world and saying, well, listen to the words. No, friend. Bring me one. Bring me one. Still waiting. Been doing it for 35 years. Still waiting. Bring me one. Say, well, mine are. Come see me after the service. I'm going to talk to you about that. That way I can take this part out of the message. But I'm still waiting. Bring me one. Now, I tell you what it is. So much of the world in their heart, Jesus doesn't have room. We've got our priorities mixed up. Go to church on a hit and a miss. Read our Bible when we're in crisis instead of enjoyment because we love God's Word and we find it more necessary than our necessary food. It's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Oh, it's not that way anymore because we filled up on the world. And when we come to the church house, the preacher's got about 45 minutes and can't even break through that hard-crusted worldly stuff to get down to the spirit of man and the heart of the condition of individuals. You say, preacher, is that so? Well, you tell me what's wrong. Our churches are dying. They're closing the doors. That's why we're having this. They're closing the doors. Men are dropping out of the ministry. Saying it's trying to get people to live for God. I shouldn't have tried to get Christians to live for God. That's not my place. Try to get you to live for Jesus and you're saved. You've been to Calvary and somebody's got to get you to live for Jesus? Something's wrong with that. You've been slipped a bill of goods, friend? A bad one. Attendance. That's where it begins. Notice what he said in verse number 4, the latter part there. And the ears of all the people were attentive. Attentive. They sit up. I can't believe, as I look at over congregations, kids, listen, this is not the way you sit in church. For those of you who didn't see it, this is not the way you sit in church. That's the way you sit on your couch and play those silly games or watch TV, but that's not the way you sit in God's house. And if you're a parent and you see that and you don't do anything about it, you're condoning it. One of my children sit like that in church, I'll thump their ear. You say, preacher, you wouldn't. Now, some of you's mad because I preached against your little music, didn't I? Oh, my. Well, you wait till God gets a hold of you. You think I'm bad. You wait till God gets a hold of you for your disobedience and your carnal lifestyle. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. You might not have to wait till you get there. You might reap it in your children. Now, you listen to the preacher this morning. I didn't fall off the wagon last week. I've been doing this for 35 years, preaching to people, watching families, watching them slither in and out, up and down, off and on, hot and cold. Well, lukewarm. And I'm just trying to warn you. I'm trying to stir you up. I'm trying to get you to understand that attending God's house is important. Amen. It's worth getting up for. It's worth setting aside some things to find your way down to the house of God. When you get here, pay attention. You put that phone up. I appreciate what Brother Larry said. Brother Larry, I'm going to give that to consideration. We got offering plates. We're going to get phone plates. Everybody turn their phone in. Why? Some folks can't pay attention to the service because they're scrolling. We're in the house of God. I sure pray to God that there's no one here this morning that you're scrolling on your phone while the man of God's up here preaching the word of God. You be attentive. You say, preacher, I don't want to get lukewarm. Preacher, I don't want to fall out. I don't want to be a part of the world. I don't want to disappoint God. I don't want to get backslidden. And it's apt to happen to any of us, isn't it? It's apt to happen to any of us. So how about a little instruction? How about a little, encouraging? I told you this morning, we're going to get stirring. Stirred. We need to be put in remembrance of some things. Oh, now, preacher, I'm above that. Come see me after the service. We'll talk about that. The problem with most Christians today, they can't take rebuke. See, preaching like this, to weak, listen to me now, cowardly Christians, they don't like it. Boy, it makes your flesh bow up, doesn't it? Did I tell you the story? When Brandon and I were down in, is it down or up in Tennessee? I don't know. Where am I? Down in Tennessee, thank you. Over. Down and over. In Tennessee, over and down, over and out. So I'm in Tennessee, and they said, we're going to teach you the way it's going to be in the classroom. Bring it on. And so I slip, I'm doing some work, and I roll back out of my chair, and I go up there to get my stuff graded, and I come back, and I sit back in my chair. This, I don't know, 25, 30-year-old man walks over to me, and he says, hey, he said, you didn't push your chair in when you left. Now, I'm going to tell you the first thing that comes to my mind, but I'm not going to do that. But then the Holy Spirit said, who do you think you are? You're not in charge here. They are. You came to put yourself under their authority. You're not above being told what to do. Put your chair under the next time you get up. Amen. Amen. But boy, that flesh bowed up. I'm telling you, it did. Like now, you know, I mean, what do you think is this, a thoroughfare? You're the only one walking around in here. You that clumsy, you're going to trip over my chair? I mean, I have thoughts like that going through my mind. I'm serious. You know why? It's flesh, brethren. It's flesh. We don't like being told what to do. But somebody's always going to be telling us what to do. Always. Get used to it. Preacher, get used to it. And so he said, number one, attendance. You there? They gathered themselves. Look at it. The people gathered themselves. Who? All the people. It's your responsibility. You shouldn't have to get a phone call. Shouldn't have to get a special note. It's the Lord's Day. It's Sunday. It's worship time. No, we heard it this morning from the Sunday school. The Spirit of God lives in you. You'll know it's the Lord's Day. It's time to get down to the house of God. The people of God are meeting down there. And I'm among that bunch. Amen. Number two, when you come, it's not just to look around and think about, let's see, what have I got to do? Not tomorrow, I've got this, and then Tuesday, and then next week. No. Look again what he said in verse number three. The latter part says, and all the ears of all the people were attentive, not into the Ezra, not into the other people. They were attentive to the book of the law. They were attentive. When a man, or if you're in a ladies' class for the ladies and children, when someone's standing and teaching and preaching the Word of God, should get our undivided attention. I try, if you've ever noticed, and I'm not trying to make myself an example, but listen, I do. As I sit here, as this man was teaching this morning, I tried never to take my eye off of him. Never to take my, because I know the moment I look out, the devil could get me. And cause me to see something or notice something, and I just try to keep my eye on the speaker. You say, well, what do you mean, keep your eye? Well, I think that's scripture. Look at verse number seven. Five, I'm sorry. Look at verse number five. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. You've been sitting in church and thinking, man, I got a direct line. I got a direct line to him. Then here comes Alan Merriman sitting right in front of you thinking, what did he do that for? I mean, what did I do to him? Why does he want to sit there? You know what I'm talking about, though, right? See, I like to see somebody speaking. And preaching and singing. Are you that way? I'm not the only person that way, am I? I am? Okay. Well, two more people. I just like to see the person that sight means something. It means something. It helps us to stay attentive. I believe that with all of my heart. When we're looking and we're honed in and we're focused in, and instead of looking around or looking down or looking over or reading notes, you stay attentive. That moment you miss might be the moment that the Holy Spirit had for you to help bring great change that's needed in your life. So they were a people of attendance. They were a people of attention. But I like this one. They were a people of affirmation. You say, what do you mean? Look, if you would, in verse number 6. Ezra blessed the Lord. And the scripture says, he blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. Y'all like amen. Well, I don't know. The people of God did back then. What's happened to us? Jesus liked it. The Spirit of God liked it. He caused many of the authors of the Word to close with, amen. The old timers that revival was ushered in liked it. Amen. Amen. Preach on, preacher. Amen. Right? Praise the Lord. Glory. And then when you get really excited, glory, hallelujah. Well, you know a man's ready now. Hey, you stay engaged. You stay engaged. The preaching of the word. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. I forgot to mention that the preacher wasn't the only one that stood those 6 hours. How many of you remember Brother Sammy Allen? What a good man of God. I've stood for 2 hours while he preached. And I thought, I sure hope he's not thinking about it. Nehemiah chapter 8 here. I'd hate to go 4 more. It does help you. It does. It just helps our concentration. Sometimes we get comfortable. Sometimes we get lax. Sometimes our minds wander. We'll look over. It's important. So here's 3 things I want you to remember. And then I've got another thought and I'm going to close for today. Okay? I want you to remember that we are a people of this book right here, brethren. The Bible should stir us up. When it's time to come to the house of God, we should be hungry and thirsty. God has commanded it. Did you know that there may be somebody here even this morning? Now, please don't miss this. The Bible says one of the reasons that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together is so that we could exhort one another. There may be somebody here that God has you to exhort. Not me, you. We're to exhort one another. And if we just set that to the side, they may not receive that exhorting. Why? Because we made a selfish decision. We're going to do something else instead of be obedient to what God said about coming together for worship. Set aside that your Sunday school teacher, your preacher, whoever that may be, has studied hours and prayed over the message with you in mind. But you're going to go to a firecracker display. Yeah. You say, preacher, that's mean. Well, I don't mean for it to be. I just mean for it to be straight. I mean for it to stir us up. What should be more important in our lives than coming and hearing what God has for us is going to help mold our lives and our homes and our hearts? I said I had one more thing, and this is what I'm going to do. The preaching, that's the people of the book. All right, they were there. They were in attendance. They were attentive. They were listening. They were sitting up. They were paying attention. And then they were engaged. They were affirming, amen, amen. You say, well, preacher, you haven't given us anything to say amen about. I've given you plenty to say amen about. Sometimes when you can't say amen, you say, oh, me. Oh, me. The preaching of the book. Verse number 5 says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. What a great message. Just magnify the Lord. What a wonderful God we have. He's a great God. Amen? He's a great God. And that's what Ezra, he blessed the Lord, the great God. And the scripture says, and all the people answered, amen, amen, lifting up their hands. See, so some people get nervous when that takes place. Of course, if they had a concert, they don't. They can have a lighter in it, and it still doesn't shake them up. But if you do that in church, people just get all kind of nervous, and oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? Well, I think God will come and be a part of that because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. See, we've just become so scripturally ignorant, we don't even know where we are and why we do what we do anymore. We really need to understand what this book teaches and why it teaches it. Why do we do what we do? It's this book, brethren. We're people of the book. Preacher, what's so important about the Bible? Why bring the book? Why come and hear the book? Because the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Right? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. That's why. Bring the book. Why the Bible? Why do we want to come hear the Bible preached? Because Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, it's by the word of God that we are sanctified and we're cleansed. Jesus said in John 15, you're clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Amen. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See, this is important. And sometimes we need to get stirred up so that we can remember. Church is not just a formality. Church is not something we do when there's time to do it, or when we feel like it, or we have an itch for it, or when we're in a crisis, or we're in a bad way, or when we just need to kind of get out some. No, church is a commandment from God first and foremost, but second, it's a privilege that we could come here and worship God in a country where we have liberty and freedom to worship the one true God of heaven. And so I just pray that God would help me, and God would help you, God would help us, not to take His house, His word, His people for granted, because it could become very easy to do so. Let's stand to our feet. Say, preacher.